Psalm 39 is a great psalm because this psalm teaches that no matter how low you have been or how sad you've been or how depressed you've been, it's possible for you to smile again. And no matter what sin or sins you've committed, it's possible for you to smile again. Psalm 39 is a psalm of David written specifically for Jeduthun, the choir director. Jeduthun was a Levite, a chief singer, and an instructor. David wanted Jeduthun to not only know this important truth personally, he wanted it communicated publicly. It's possible to smile again no matter how emotionally low or physically low one may have been. Now, as believers, we have several problems that block the road to us smiling. First of all, we have a God who wants us to be happy, but he also knows in order to be happy, we cannot be sinful. Our problem is we are sinful, and it's our sinfulness that becomes a key roadblock to our happiness. And secondly, God chastises us when we are sinful and we are in that state, we cannot possibly be happy. So here's our problem. God wants us to be happy. We want to be happy, and to be happy, we must not have any taint of sin. And yet we are sinful, and so there are times when we do sin which negate our being happy. So the big question is, how can we smile when we are sinful? How can we smile when we are chastised by God? And these questions are answered in Psalm 39. Even though we as God's people sin, even though God will chastise his people for their sin, it's still possible to be happy in life if we learn the lessons God wants us to learn and respond favorably to him and his word. One of the principles of the Constitution of the United States is that we have the right to pursue happiness. I don't know of one person who does not want to be happy. It seems that this is the quest of most people. People will do bizarre things to try to find happiness, including sticking needles in their arms or sniffing stuff up their nose. None of it works. The key to smiling in life is one's relationship with God, and Psalm 39 makes that point clear. Now, the primary point of the psalm is seen in the final verse. God wanted David to be able to smile again, and he has sinned and he's experienced the chastisement of God for it, and he wanted to smile again. And here's the blueprint pattern to help him do that. It's a simple blueprint pattern comprised of these parts, and if you try it, you're going to discover it's going to work. And so first of all, he says to guard our ways. Look at verse 1. I said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. When people sin, the attitude may well have been blown it, so what's the use? I let my guard down and it's over. It's exactly the opposite way to happiness. The key to happiness is to keep your guard up. The word guard means to carefully guard you from doing something that could bring further guilt or punishment. In other words, a key to finding happiness when one is sin is to immediately stop doing the things that will make you guiltier or more deserving of more punishment. Learn the lesson and guard yourself from doing the thing that puts you into that depression. So look at verse 1 again. I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with a muzzle so long as the wicked are in my presence. So what we say or don't say is a key to our happiness. Our speech and the ability to muzzle our speech is a key to that. It's obvious that God does not want us shooting off our mouths. In fact, the image of a muzzle is the image of a mouth that's shut. Charles Spurgeon said this, tongue sins are great sins, like sparks of fire. Ill words spread and do great damage. So it's estimated by professors of psychiatry that from the time you get up until the time you go to bed, the average woman speaks 20,000 words per day, and the average man speaks 7,000 words per day. And so a critical key to being happy is to guard what we say with those words. God knows that a key to our happiness is found in what we say about him, about others, about ourselves. So guard your tongue. And then communicate with God. Look at verses 2 and 3. I was mute and silent. I held my peace to no avail. My distress grew worse. My heart became hot within me. As I mused, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. The major key to smiling again is prayerful communication with God. The tendency for a believer who has sinned and who is being disciplined is to stop communicating with God, to stop praying. According to verse 2, it's exactly what David did. He stopped praying, and his sorrow grew worse. According to verse 3, his heart was burning and prompting him to pray and talk to God. When God's people sin and their world starts to cave in, typically they will talk to other people, but not to God. People go to others who will give them an empathetic ear, but the problem is they will never put the smile back on the face truly or give you a song in your heart. That comes by talking with God. And so he makes these requests. Look at verse 4 and 5. O Lord, make me know my end and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made me my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Selah. Now, most people think that the key to happiness is being told how successful and healthy they are. However, the key to happiness is to realize how weak and frail we are. Happiness comes by knowing the brevity of life and anticipating its end. Why would this be a key of happiness? Because if you're constantly thinking about that fact, then I will leave the earth one day, it tends to have a purifying effect on what you think and do and say. When you live carefully focused on what you think, do, and say in the light of eternity, you are happy. The fact is, most miserable people you'll ever meet are people focused on the here and now. Think about this fact. Most people alive right now will be gone in 50 years or less. When we go to a funeral, we expect to hear a sermon, but actually we see the sermon. The person who died is the sermon. What the sermon says is that life is brief. Realizing that is a key to happiness. One Bible teacher used to say that if you told most people they had 1 month to live, they would weep. Yet most live life without even a thought. They may not even make it through the day. Happy people are eternally focused people. They stay focused on the temporality of life and the eternality that follows. Look at verse 6. Surely a man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather. Almost every man who goes through life tries to make some uproar for nothing. The big uproar is to try to accumulate wealth, thinking this will make him happy. The truth is, no matter what you have no idea who will actually end up with it. So you can work and save and even put some will together, but then you die. Do you really know what will happen? For example, when someone builds a home with plans and dreams of living in a nice neighborhood, when the home first goes up, it's exciting. It's like a dream house when person allows always wanted. However, 20, 30 years later, what does this house actually mean? Eventually, the home is sold to someone who doesn't even remember the name of the people who originally built it. So at one time, this home was the primary focal point of the family of whom you do not even remember their names. Verse 7, and now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. He acknowledges that God is waiting on him. No matter what we're facing, there's always hope in God. God can always turn things around. No matter how bad they look, a key to putting a smile back on our face is rekindling our hope in God and telling God that when all is said and done, the great moments and happy moments of our life will be when we have trusted God for something. And then seeing God do what we trusted him to do, there's no greater happiness than that. Verse 8, deliver me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of the fool. It's a very powerful and very practical verse. David sees the key to smiling and happiness is directly connected to sin, his own sin. In order to be happy as a believer, one must have deliverance from all sin. And in order for that to happen, God in his grace must do the delivering. Happiness will never be found in the way of the foolish. The way of the foolish is that they think pursuing sinful things will make them happy, when in fact it will make them miserable. The further away we move from the sin, the happier we will be. Now, how do we get deliverance from sin? Through confession, 1 John 1:9. This is what David is doing here. It's talking to God about his sin. He asked God to deliver him so that he would not end up a reproach to enemies. Sin will never bring happiness. It will bring guilt, fear, and depression. Sin will leave you lonely and miserable. It will not put a smile on your face. So when you sin, confess it to God and you will smile again. And David acknowledges that he has no position to criticize God. Look at verse 9. I am mute. I do not open my mouth, for it is you who have done it. You'll never end up with a smile on your face if you criticize and question God. David knew that his problems were due to himself, not God. David knew God had every right to pull the plug on his happiness. Verses 10 and 11. Remove your stroke from me. I'm spent. by the hostility of your hand. When you discipline a man with rebukes for sin, you consume like a moth what is dear to him. Surely all mankind is a mere breath. Selah. The chastisement of God is a theme that is to be taught to God's people in the church. God can and does put misery in our lives, and he also can and will put joy in our lives. We need to understand this point. God's opposition and misery does not come against us to consume us, but to consume our sin. In other words, when God chastises us, he does it for the benefit of us. He wants sin out of our lives. God can send a plague or calamity into our world to get our attention. You know that. He uses these things as teaching tools to instruct us to not walk in evil ways. What David did here was ask God to remove his chastisement. God's chastisement for sin was like a moth. One little moth can ruin something beautiful, so you must get rid of the moth. This is the way it is with sin. Sin starts damaging a child, so God brings various things into life of his child so that they will get rid of the sin. The key is not to criticize God, but learn the lesson, then ask God to remove the chastisement. Here is where true happiness may be again be found. Selah, stop and think about it. As David closes this psalm in verses 12 and 13, we see him ask something here. Look at this. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not your peace at my tears, for I am a sojourner with you, a guest like all my fathers. Look away from me that I may smile again before I depart and am no more. He asked God to hear and answer his prayer. There's a place for tears of sorrow. When those tears are genuine over sin, it does mean something to God. David was shedding tears and he wanted to smile again. So he went to the one person who would make that happen. He went to God. So guard our ways, guard our speech, and communicate with God.